Hi, this is Lee Carriage, and you're listening to Helen Simons on Jazz Express.
My special guest today on Jazz Express is Lee Carriage, one of Australia's leading contemporary vocalists and songwriters. Lee is also a leading contemporary music educator, lecturing at Southern Cross University since 1998. Lee is currently enrolled in a PhD at Sydney University, researching collaborative composition and improvisation. Today, Lee is going to be talking to us about her new releases. But before we go there, let me tell you that Lee has also been a performer at major festivals, including the Monterey Jazz Festival in the United States, Byron Bay Blues and Roots Festival, North Coast Jazz Festival, Melbourne International Women's Festival. Her experience is enormous. But through her journey of recovery from a major accident, she has come up with the most beautiful 10 original songs, and it has culminated at this crossroads in her journey with two new offerings showcasing her original material and love for a personal selection of jazz standards, both from historic classics and contemporary songwriters. So let's get on with the interview, Lee, and talk about Your Journey, Mandarin Skyline, and Get Out of Town.
Oh, hello, Helen. What an introduction.
My pleasure.
Impressive. Thank you. I hope I can live up to all of that.
I think you have, and I think you will be. I know you're going to head to Sydney very soon to start this wonderful journey of sharing your music with your fans and garnering new fans, which I know is going to happen. But Mandarin Skyline. Now, look, I look at the liner notes, and you collaborated with some of the giants of Australian jazz. Now, these men are quite formidable in their own right.
They are. It was a dream. It was really a dream for me to... I had an idea that in about November of 2012... I decided that I would, really want to work in a really great studio in Sydney with this dream group of musicians that I've admired for so long. Hamish, Sam Kevis, Hamish Stewart, of course, Jonathan Swartz, Steve Russell, who I work with regularly, but also I hadn't actually recorded with at this level before and collaboratively written with. Matt McMahon, who I've known since I was very young, and I adore Matt's playing and his just his whole approach to music and thoughtfulness about music. And Phil Slater, again, when I first lived in Sydney back in the 80s and early 90s, I used to go and see Phil when he first started out. In fact, I even ran into him one night with Peter Zoghafakis at the Vanguard in New York when I didn't think any Australians were there, and then the three of us were there. So we go way back, and I hadn't had the opportunity to write original music of this nature that would really allow these musicians to create some beautiful environments around the music and have their heads, so to speak, be able to just improvise and add ideas and to really just make the music come alive.
The quality, of course, is superb. I love the mix and your choice of musicians to play with, but you have chosen three of Australia's leading jazz pianists on this album. And
I was greedy.
Well, if you can, why not? But what did they bring to this album? What did these three particular men bring to this album?
There's a really... Look, when I was writing the compositions, I could almost hear, in particular, I could hear Matthew and Sam's and Steve's playing on different tracks. Normally you might work with the same, for example, on the Get Out of Town album. I worked with the same quartet all the way through with Matt Smith and Stephen Russell and the beautifully solid Brendan Clark. I love that guy. He just rocks in a beautiful swinging kind of way. And Hamish. So the original album, I could hear certain tracks needed a different kind of sensibility. I kind of wanted a different colour and approach, and each player brings that with their own approach, whether it's much more minimal or it's more the groove and Cuban influences that Sam Kiba brings, or there's this kind of beautiful fluidity that I understand in Steve Russell's music and his playing. And with Matthew's playing, I could hear on Breaking Point and a couple of other tracks, I just heard him playing them. I've just listened to him for so long, I went, oh, I'm going to ask Matt to play those pieces. So really, each one of them offers something unique and subtle. And you, well, for me, I can hear the different piano players all through the album.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to Mandarin Skyline to begin with. How did you conceive the title Mandarin Skyline?
Mandarin Skyline, that's been bubbling around in my head for about 8 years, maybe even more. And I had this chorus section of this song, and, you know, only as an idea, a little sketch I'd written out, but I'd never really, it was really contrapuntal, and it had this sort of ostinato-y piano part going all the way through it that I used to play. And literally I came up with that because I was thinking of how each day comes and goes, and, you know, the colour of the day and how it changes, and I was thinking how that reflects in life and love and relationships. So really the title itself, I didn't even know I was going to call the album that, or that that was going to be the title track until many, many weeks after recording, but it just shone out, so to speak. It was a terrible pun, but it just shone brightly as the title track when I talked to Sam and Matt and Steve, who all helped produce it. But that was going to be, that's the strongest track to start with.
It certainly starts the album off with a great punch, and it's a wonderful musical statement. How autobiographical is this album?
I think all albums are, whether they're instrumental or lyrical, we can't help but reflect. However, it is autobiographical in many ways, and particularly probably that track, because it has a long lineage with me of connection. But I wrote many of the other tunes totally focused on friends that were going through things, or a situation that would arrive in their life. All While You Sleep is one of those pieces written for somebody who was in a kind of a very dear friend who was in this kind of unrequited love. So some of it is. Some of it I find easier to write with the viewpoint of others. And to be honest, I had this gift. I decided to collaborate as part of my PhD, not just on the musical process and arrangements, but with a great lyricist who I've admired for about 25 years, and that's Justine Bradley.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was going to ask you about your collaboration on Spring Uprising with Justine, because it's a beautiful track, but it also shares a sense of despair and hope for the world, and but it seems that you beautifully integrate together and from the deepest part of your connection.
Oh, we do. Well, firstly, we've been friends for almost 25 years, and Justine and I have known each other at the heights and depths and the peaks and flows of a career. And we're both vocalists and singer-songwriters, and we love each other, and we're dear friends, and I deeply respect her. And although she's very poetic, she has this incredible gift of the muse with lyrical writing. I have always admired her lyrics, and I write much more, I'm more minimal in some respects, and more conversational. So the poetry and the balance of that conversation and poetry came together with Justine and I. And also, she's fast. This woman's so fast with lyrics. We were driving literally up to see family in Toowoomba, and I text Justine, hi honey, I've just sent you the track, the bed track and the melody and some of my lyrical ideas for Rise and Fall. So I will talk to Spring Uprising, but with this particular track, I remember Justine in 20 minutes on the way up, I get another text, here, what do you think of these lyrics? I've just emailed them to you. I read them through, sing them through in the car. I ring her back and go, they're perfect, nothing will change. So that doesn't happen very often, and I think that happens with 20 years of friendship and understanding each other's musics.
Okay, well, we're going to listen to this beautiful track that you co-wrote with Justine Bradley called Spring Uprising. There is a wonderful alchemy in your process. Your lyrics have been percolating through your life for a long time. Your association with Justine over a long time. Your association with all of these wonderful men who've supported you in this endeavour. What was it like to go to America and then mix the album with the notable Grammy winner Haley Kadar, who's very well known for his mix and engineering work on River the Joni Letters, which won the Best Album of the Year, Best Contemporary Jazz Album, and it was a surprise to all the music world at the time. For an Australian to be in this situation, how did it feel?
Well, there's a very long story, and I have to correct something that perhaps has been, you know, misguided. Yes, Halik mixed and mastered this album, which was a real honour and also an incredibly new process because we mixed and engineered internationally online. Long story short, I only had a very short window of about 6 weeks that I can do these projects. So in particular, this one, I had this window of weeks. In that time, I had to compose, write, collaborate, arrange the songs, chart everything, send it out, all the demos out to the musicians, organise a rehearsal and then get to the studio, record it, get some bounces down, get it back home and then edit it all and then send everything off to Halik. So by that time, uni was back and so my window was closed. And also just in terms of funding, I decided that I would trust and trial an online engineering project. It was my first, so it meant that Halik and I would introduce ourselves. First, I just humbly asked him, but actually Jonathan Swartz with The C had used Halik, and I knew that other people had in Australia. And Jonathan suggested that I tried and connected me up. So that was the blessing in, you know, using Jonathan and Jonathan's history with Halik. So then Halik and I would talk online. We actually didn't ever speak in person. We didn't even do a Skype chat. His time was really reduced and there was just, a window within, I think it was April, May, June. And Halik would send a track to me. I sent the hard drive over with, you know, some beautiful Australian products in there. And Halik sent each track back. And I would have three or so comments on email about things I'd like to change or things I didn't like. And then we would talk, those changes would be made and I'd comment back online.
Lee, which track would you say that is the closest that means the most to you?
Oh, one out of those 10. You know what? I would say on a historical sort of point, All While You Sleep was co-written. Michael Barkle was one of my first contemporary teachers. Right back, straight out of school, this guy met me and has been, I was on the phone to him today, funnily enough. That would be my most heartstring kind of completion of a whole range of things in my life to have written with this amazing composer who doesn't normally write in my genre per se. Writes symphonies and a whole range of other things, but perhaps not symphonies. He writes amazing pieces, classical pieces. He's a multi-instrumentalist, etc., etc. I have the highest regard for him on all levels. But on another level, Breaking Point, I have to say, Helen, it's hard, but Breaking Point is a piece that I co-wrote the verse with Charmian Kingston and Jack Britton, two ex-graduates from SCU. That's a real measure as well, that students of ours that have graduated, I want to co-write and collaborate with them because I love where they've gone in their careers. And that song, it's an epically long song. Jonathan's solo on that is brilliant. And everyone's playing. Matt Smith's electronic sort of approaches to guitar, his guitar part, everyone, Matt McMahon's pedal all the way through that. And also I tried a different vocal approach for the very first time. It's a really long track. You probably won't get much airplay because it's 8 minutes and something, but they're my two.
Well, we might go and play All While You Sleep now, and if we can fit it in Breaking Point a bit later in the show. To finish off discussing Mandarin Skyline, music critic John Shand compares your voice to that of Joni Mitchell. How would you describe your vocal prowess?
Ah, well, I hope it's I describe it as real. I try and just deliver the vocals with as much authentic part of me that I can. I've practiced technique for 25 years and I think I'm a great technician of voice now, but that's not what I try and bring in. I try and bring in, yes, I want all those things, the neatness of it all and the beauty of it all and the tone, but really I hope I make people feel something. I hope my voice just makes people feel anything. That would be it. I hope my voice does that.
I think you do emotionally connect to your audiences, and you certainly will emotionally connect to anybody listening to Mandarin Skyline, your new offering to a very, very appreciative audience. Now, get out of town. Something completely on the other side of the coin. The flip side to any jazz singer is the standards. Now, classic and contemporary standards. You've put on this album music from Cole Porter to Jamie Cullum, Freddie Hubbard, Alicia Keys, and one of my favourites, Hearing Ella Sing by Patti Austin. Mm. Now, beautiful selection and a great diverse selection. Tell me a bit about Get Out of Town and why now with Mandarin Skyline?
Well, okay. Well, this, as someone once said to me, you know, I never do things by halves, and I'm slightly ambitious with projects. I kind of knew that I again had that window of time, and I really wanted to play with Brendan Clarke, and I kind of knew again that I wanted to have a jazz album in the same year. So I thought, here am I, I'm going to Sydney, I'm working with exemplary musicians, I'll just put it all on the line and in 2 days we'll record two albums. I timetabled it. I talked to the engineers at 301 and said, this is my dream. This is what I'd like to do. On the first day, I'd like to record this original project. And on the second day, I'd really like to record a jazz album. And we finished everything but one track. And in the morning of the second day, we finished the original album. It was all done. And I would do I did guide vocals. And then the following day, I thought, okay, I can fit this in. We'll do this. We actually did 10 or 11 tracks, actually, in an afternoon with Brendan Clarke. So Jonathan left, Brendan arrived, the studio changed, everyone hugged each other and some people said goodbye and hello, and we started again. And everyone had to have a kind of different approach to their playing. And I had selected these tunes many, many months before, based on a whole range of things. Firstly, history again, picking up things that I do live that I've never recorded but I've been doing for 20 years and I adore. New pieces that I had arranged, which is Jamie Cullum's piece. I had spent a lot of time rearranging that and reharmonising that piece. I'd hope you hear it one day and I hope you would be happy with it. And then I guess some other pieces. Madeline Young and I used to play back in the day in Sydney, an amazing guitarist. And she introduced me to Emily Remler, who I missed seeing her perform, but I love that arrangement. So Softly as in the Morning Sunrise, I just had to do that on this album. And you mentioned the Patti Austin piece. Well, if you're a singer of my ilk, somehow you wouldn't have missed in the 80s and 90s Patti Austin, and if you have, well, check her out because she's a blast. And I think it's new for Patti to be writing in the last 10 years or so, well, to my knowledge. And one, she's a phenomenal singer, but I think there's this homage that I have, that every singer might have if they've listened to this music of Ella's and Sarah and God, I can say Kerry Bedell in that for us, and Vince as a singer-songwriter, and people like Michelle Farrell. But Patti Austin is one of those people that he's written a great homage song to Ella Fitzgerald. It had to go on. And so the pieces were all based on history and also, again, on the musicians. I had Hamish playing, and he can hold things down and just keep it sizzling, or Hamish can just fly. And he creates these kind of, they're like, from the swamp to the rainforest to the desert, these environments as a drummer that are so textural, you can't help but sort of go with it with him. I just love playing with Hamish.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a track from Get Out of Town, and I think we might play... what would you like us to play from this album?
Oh, well, I think All at Sea is one of my favourite tracks on this album, as a ballad on the album. And the leading track, Get Out of Town, Brendan just kills it at the head of the tune.
Well, let's kill it with Get Out of Town. Now, Lenny, your performing dates are coming up right now. You're about to go to Sydney, performing there on Wednesday the 6th of February at Venue 505 in Surry Hills, which is one of the best little engine rooms, I think, in the nation.
It is. Cameron's incredible.
Yep, it's fantastic, and I love going there every time I'm in Sydney. In Byron Bay, you're coming back to do a great concert for the locals on Saturday the 23rd of March at the Byron Bay Community Centre in Johnson Street, and we look forward to seeing you there. For those of us who want to go to the Brisbane Jazz Club on Saturday the 20th of April, we'll see you at Kangaroo Point. And I wish you all the best for the launch of these two magnificent albums. Your dreams and desires, I think, have come through, and you shine along with all the musicians and your great friends who've collaborated with you. It's an honour to talk to you this morning. And I think it shows the magnificent talent that we have in this country that goes much unnoticed by our pathetic politicians. But appreciated by the lovers of good music. And all the best for the coming year, because I know it's the year of the snake and it's the girls' year, I'm told.
So. Oh, thank you. Okay, well, I'll utilise anything that's available. Thank you. You're so right, Helen. These things are never done in isolation, these albums, you know, including friends and artwork and a whole range of things. Thank you so much for your support locally and all the regional and community radio. It's just so important for all of us musicians, especially perhaps in this genre. So thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing everybody at the gigs.
Thank you, and good luck.
Hi, this is Lee Carriage, and you're listening to member-supported Bay FM 99.9.